everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are live right now so you can be a part of this broadcast, so you can pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. So now we invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. Call now. You know, we all have issues in life, and many times we don't know what to do or where to turn. That's why we're here. If there's something you'd like to talk about, let's talk about it right now. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, that toll-free number, 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of room for you right now. Now here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. I want to start off by offering one more thank you for the folks in New York City, both yes. WMCA, our wonderful affiliate there, and the people who came to the American Bible Society to see Bob Christopher and to interact with us. That was just a thrill that even us here in our office could sort of by proxy be there with Bob Christopher enjoy you folks. We love to get out and meet people, and even though you know we can't always afford to send the whole crew, it's still worth the relationship building to do that sort of thing. So indeed. Thanks again for your hospitality and your warmth and your friendliness, and we really appreciate it.
Love to hear the warm response, the applause for the group that was there.
Yes. Well, all this month we've been talking about freedom, and most of the time when we talk about freedom in the spiritual sense, it usually comes down to freedom from sin. How do I get free from sin? How do I not be a slave to sin? I know Jesus died for my sins, and I don't want to be a slave to sin anymore. Well, in a very real sense, we miss the point when all we do is look at Jesus' victory over sin. The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 2 is talking about the superiority of Jesus in a couple of different ways. But he says this, Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of sin? No, fear of death. Death is the real issue. Obviously, sin caused death, but death is the issue. So Jesus had to die to take care of that sin problem, and he did that once for all. That's why if you're a child of God, you can say without any equivocation at all, I am a forgiven person.
Yeah.
But the real point of Jesus' work on earth was to be raised from the dead and therefore have the power over death. He has the power of eternal life. And by doing that, he defeated Satan in two ways. Satan is the author of sin. Jesus defeated him on the sin issue. Satan is the author of death, and Jesus defeated him on that issue as well. And therefore, he has freed all of us who for all of our lives were held hostage, held in slavery by our fear of death. I believe it was the poet E.E. Cummings who once said in one of his poems, just a phrase, "I will show you fear in a handful of dust." Mm. And that's what we're all headed. We're going to be a handful of dust when all is said and done, at least physically.
Yeah.
And if that's all there is, oh my sakes, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we're going to die. You know, why care about anything? But when you've got the hope of Jesus Christ, because he's taken away the sin problem once and for all, and he solved the death problem once and for all, now we're talking. Now we're talking about real freedom, real life, real assurance, real victory, because it's his victory and he gives it to us.
Yeah.
That's why we do Basic Gospel.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel, friends. Want you to be a part of the broadcast. That's why we're live, so give us a call if you have something you'd like to talk about, perhaps an issue you face in life, a Bible passage you just can't quite understand. Good opportunity. The lines are wide open right now, 1-800-677-9377. That's the number to dial in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377. The open lines are yours right now. A quick reminder before we go to questions, Richard, that Bob Christopher is going to be joining our longtime friend and dear brother and in Christ, Timothy Riles, pastor of the Beulah Baptist Church, this coming Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And Bob would love to see so many of you that are able to come and be a part of that. And you are cordially invited. I know that Timothy and Bobby Riles would welcome you with open arms, as will Bob Christopher. So take advantage of the opportunity this Sunday morning, 11 o'clock at the Beulah Baptist Church. And, of course, that's at 125 West 130th Street there in New York, in the Harlem area. So go and be a part of that. It's going to be something very, very special.
I want to add something to that. If you get a chance to go there, don't just talk to Bob Christopher.
Yeah.
If you can, get to meet Tim Riles.
Sure.
This is a man that wisdom oozes out of him. I know that because I've sat down beside him a couple of times at various conferences and just asked him questions.
Yeah.
And then he would ask me questions, and you go, oh, that's deeper than most people ask, you know. And so he's the real deal.
Yeah.
He absolutely is the real deal. He is a loving pastor. He is a child of God, and he preaches grace like probably very few other people do.
Absolutely. Thanks for that, Richard. And again, that's going to be this Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, at the Beulah Baptist Church, 125 West 130th in New York. Plenty of open lines, as I said just a moment ago, 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call across the country and in Canada. From Deborah, who lives in Temple Hills, Maryland. The scripture tells us much about false teachers and preachers. She said, I do not accuse the pastor of our church of being false, but it is clear that he is not prepared to stand before the congregation most Sundays. It is becoming difficult for me to sit under teaching like this. My question is, am I to be patient with the pastor and allow the Holy Spirit to do his work within him? Or what? That's from Deborah in Maryland.
I've got to tell you a little story. When I was a kid, we were attending a church someplace, I'll not say where, on the air. And one day, the pastor got up and literally said this to the congregation. While I was driving into work or to church today, I was wondering what I would talk about. And you just kind of take a deep breath, even as a kid. I knew that wasn't right. And that's a problem in many churches today. The pastors, whether it's because they are otherwise gainfully employed and church is a part-time thing they do, don't have a lot of time sometimes to make preparation for a reasonable presentation of the Word of God. Other pastors are just flat lazy. And I don't know which one she has. There's a whole range of things in the middle. So you do two things. One, just like she said, you be patient. The Lord has given her discernment, and she realizes that there's some issues going on here. But if she's not in relationship with the pastor, it doesn't do to be a drive-by critic, you know.
Yeah.
On the way out the door. Well, that was really an awful, awful sermon. It feels to me like you haven't prepped anything. You don't want to go there.
Yeah.
You know? Hopefully his board of directors or board of elders or whoever is, you know, in charge of running the church is working with him on this. How can we help you get the time you need to do the preparation you need? It may be that someone needs to come alongside of him, and it probably can't be our writer, but somebody in the church should be in relationship with this pastor and say, how can we help you do what you need to do?
Mm-hmm.
Are you struggling with something? Are you confused about some aspect of your belief? It's okay. You're just human, right? Pastors aren't any different than anybody else. They just have a different role to play. And find out what's going on. Most of us are church shoppers. We go to church like we buy food. You look at the newspaper and you say, well, I kind of prefer Target, but Walmart's got a better price, so I'll go to Walmart. And if you don't like that particular Walmart, then you'll try a Kroger here in our area. You know, and you're just wandering around looking at things. Well, commit to a church so that you can be in relationship with those people and you can be ministering to them, right? The pastor's job is to help us to be ministers.
Mm-hmm.
The regular folks, the so-called laity. That's a terrible word. The people who attend a church are the ministers. The guy who is the pastor is the person who equips those people to do ministry. Well, sometimes you do ministry in the church. Sometimes you do ministry outside the church. In this case, the ministry probably needs to happen within the church so that the pastor knows that the people care about him and they want him to succeed. Pastors can pick up on people who don't want them to succeed just like anybody else can, and it leaves them in a very weak and vulnerable position. Try not to do that, but at the same time, if they're going to be responsible for a group of people of whatever size it is, from 2 people to 80,000 people, they need to know that there's strength in the body of Christ for them, and they need to be encouraged to listen to the Spirit themselves and to find whatever it is that, that the Spirit is trying to teach them about the gospel so they can teach others.
Yeah.
It's really, this is a long-winded answer, but it's a complicated situation.
Sure.
It's not just a simple matter of this guy's not doing his job, let's get rid of him.
Yeah. Several years ago, and it's been several years since I was asked to speak at a church service, but the week before that I was at my desk and I was preparing for preparing the message, and I was hitting a little block, you know, and a certain person comes into the office and asks what I'm doing. Well, I'm preparing for the message on Sunday and so forth and so on. Well, don't worry about it. Just trust God. I said, well, I did. He told me to prepare. 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of open lines. Want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Richard Pfeiffer is here. My name is Bob Davis. We thank you for joining us. And we're gonna pause just for a moment because we have a – well, actually, we're not. We're going to go talk to our dear friend Angelo, calling in from Matawan, New Jersey. Angelo, welcome to the broadcast, my friend.
Thank you, Bob. And I want to thank you two guys for holding up the ship there. We didn't meet with Bob Christopher and his family, but we wanted to also remember you guys as well, Bob Davis and Richard Pfeiffer. I know you guys have make a big sacrifice to allow Bob to come out and be with us, but we appreciate you guys as well.
Well, it's not that big a sacrifice.
I just want you guys to know that you guys are loved here in Matawan, New Jersey as well.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
But I have a question.
Okay.
Me and Yvonne have been working on Richard's study on the roles of women, but is the pastorship exclusive to males? That's my question.
Okay, we've got 12 minutes and 35 seconds. What are we going to do? In terms of actual authority, the Bible is pretty clear that God has designated men to be in charge of the church. That doesn't mean they lord it over people. That doesn't mean that they rule with an iron fist, but he has given men that role. That doesn't preclude women in any way from taking part in ministry. Okay? My favorite example is way back 100 years ago when I was in college. The person who had perhaps the greatest impact on my search for truth at that time was a woman. She taught Greek at the school that I went to, and you know, when you're sitting in a language lab in utter terror that the teacher's going to point at you and say, read this passage and tell me what it means, and she comes to you and actually says that, and you stammer through something, and she says, well, look at this issue, and she starts opening up the grace of God in Greek, in this case, but opening up the grace of God to show us how complete the work of Jesus was. I got maybe 1% of it, but it still changed my life. No other male teacher that I had at the time did that. So God used a woman teacher to minister to my life. And in that class, she had authority over me. She was the teacher. I was the student. There was no problem at all with that. Now, I know that in some churches, whoever's in charge tends to get rather bossy about things, men or women. And that's just not the way the body of Christ is supposed to work. So, let me just shorten it up. In terms of who's got the absolute authority in church, the final decision-making authority, I believe the Bible teaches that men do. It also very clearly states that women are not refused the chance to be ministers, okay, to actually share the gospel with people. Paul, in particular, is so kind to women, and it really bugs me when people, and usually it's women, come up to me and say, "Well, you know, Paul's just a misogynist." Yeah, no, he wasn't. He was so honoring of women. I mean, it's the number of women that he mentions in his letters who are leaders in the local house churches makes it obvious that they were very strong participants in the gospel. And so we've got to find a way to, rather than, you know, digging in our heels and drawing lines in the sand and double dog daring people to change, you know, our tradition, to just go back to the Word of God and let it inform us about the how men and women can and should get together, work together, pray together, think together, sing and praise together in the Spirit, because neither one of us can do it alone. I mean, God said at the very beginning, after he had created Adam, it's not good for man to be alone. So men need women, and women need men. And I think this applies as much in the church as it does in marriage. And I think we do ourselves a great disservice when we polarize the conversation instead of harmonizing the conversation.
Well, thank you very much, Richard.
Now, does that help? Did I answer it?
That helps. I mean, I still have that one verse where it talks about that there are no more Hebrews, no more Greeks, nor male or female. Mm-hmm. So basically, God doesn't respect, you know, gender, to kind of summarize it.
Correct.
So he sees us all as equal. Mm-hmm. So in my viewpoint, if we're all equal and we all share the same Holy Spirit, then we should all be able to work as a body, be the fingers, the voice, the hands, the feet, that's for everyone, male or female.
Absolutely true. But it's also true that in every church situation that Paul set up, he identified men as elders who are responsible for the purity of the message. And so in a way, they became first among equals, because that's the way Paul described it. Now, how strong was the societal bias in that situation? Probably pretty strong, because women in Roman society were really not much more than slaves. There were some very, very powerful women in the political realm, but the average woman in the Roman society was kind of put upon. Men in Roman society had a terrible idea about marriage. I mean, you had a wife so that you could, you know, have children, and you had, you know, mistresses so that you could have fun, and you know, it was just crazy. By the way, we seem to be repeating that. But at the same time, the equality of men and women in Christ is completely unassailable. There is no question that we are all one in Christ and intended to be one in Christ. And so, you know, I think what we need to do is put down our biases and pick up the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit inform us as how best to do the work that God gives us to do. And rather than telling him what he means, let's let the Spirit tell us what he means.
Amen. I agree. Thank you so much, Richard.
Sure enough.
Thank Angelo, good to hear from you, brother. Say hello to Yvonne for us.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We have time on the clock. Open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Want to hear from you in the time remaining. In the meantime, from Mary in Ohio, question. It's said that some things are acts of God, such as the weather. There's been such horrific and catastrophic weather in recent years. Why would God put this on us? So many have been devastated from these storms that have died because of them. It's hard to understand why he would allow such devastation. That question from Mary in Ohio.
Okay.
I knew you would know.
I know this. No. You've got to understand that what people call acts of God are... It's a shorthand for, I'm an insurance company and I don't want to pay. Insurance companies are in the business of making money while providing a service for emergency situations. And something as large as a tornado or a hurricane cannot be dealt with in any normal business sense. I mean, that's just the facts of life. When I mean, some of these tornadoes that have gone through the Midwest in the last couple of years, 2 and 3 miles wide and on the ground for 40 miles. What do you do with something like that? So the act of God phrase was coined to deal with things that are beyond human scope. Well, that is all kinds of stuff beyond human scope. And I find it fascinating that in a society that absolutely denies God, when there's a storm or a volcano goes off or something like that, everybody, you know, politicians, businessmen, regular people, everybody shakes their head and solemnly says, well, this was an act of God. I'll tell you what the act of God was. The act of God was to send Jesus Christ to live, die for my sins, and get raised from the dead in victory over death so that I could have eternal life again. That's the act of God. Everything else in our world that goes on is the direct result of sin. This world is falling apart. You look at issues like plate tectonics and you see the continents tearing apart and subducting under each other, causing terrible earthquakes. You see volcanoes around these rift zones. You see the weather changing, and not because I breathe too much oxygen and put out too much carbon dioxide. These are things that are the direct result of sin. Our world is such a different place than the world God created at the beginning. And eventually, it's going to get recreated. But now it groans. It groans under the sin that we humans caused. Okay? If humanity never committed another sin between this moment and whenever Jesus comes, Satan is still destroying the earth because he was given dominion over the earth, and it's his evident pleasure to kill as many people and animals and ecologies as he possibly can.
And to use man as much as possible to accomplish that.
So don't buy the argument that certain political groups put out that we can fix this if we could just get rid of a few people. Don't buy the argument that there's no such thing as climate change because, you know, what we want to do is make more money. Both of those arguments are false. The real argument is that we have a sin problem.
Yes.
In this world. Sin controls this world. It's ripping this world apart. You only have to look a little while to recognize that. Jesus is the only answer because he defeated sin. He left sin here for a while he's doing the things he's doing. But we can have that indwelling Holy Spirit in our lives to completely transform us, to revolutionize us. It's so revolutionary that we are called new creations. Now, we still got this flesh hanging on us, but on the inside, a child of God is completely different than he or she used to be. And we're changing even as we go. Eventually, it's going to be finished, and Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to recreate everything, and then we'll get to see that final act of God in this recreation of the universe as we know it.
Absolutely.
I can't wait, and in the meantime, I forgive the insurance companies and other people. I understand the business constraints, but don't mess business with the gospel.
Absolutely. Well, Richard, thanks for holding forth today. And a reminder to those of you listening on WMCA in New York that Bob Christopher is going to be speaking this Sunday morning at 11 at Beulah Baptist Church in Harlem as he joins our longtime friend and brother in Christ, Pastor Timothy Riles. Those of you in the area are cordially invited to go and meet Bob and Timothy. That's this Sunday morning at 11 at Beulah Baptist Church, 125 West 130th Street in New York. A reminder, too, that Basic Gospel needs your help to keep this good news on the airwaves. In line with that, a copy of John Lynch's book, The Cure, can be yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. Let us say thank you with a complimentary copy and allow God's cure to free you to walk in the fullness of his love and grace. To make your gift and request your copy, visit basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or phone us at 1-800-727-2828. 1-800-727-2828. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us today for this edition. Now, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel.